But how do you feel about big hats, though? Because I feel...
Big hats?
Yeah.
I'm not inherently opposed to them. I don't look good in big hats.
You look good in small hats?
I mean, I can wear a baseball cap just fine.
Okay, what about a smaller hat?
Like a fez?
Smaller. Think smaller.
Yeah. What about like one of those things with like a little propeller on top?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
No bill. Or maybe
a
like...
Beanie. A beanie with a propeller?
Yeah. A visor? That's a smaller
hat. Visor
is
sure.
A missing
hat.
Part.
Yeah.
What if you wore a visor and a yarmulke at the same time? Is that like one full hat or like... Mm.
That's an awkward sunscreen line you have to use. That one. Like one little strip here. Yeah. Not saying you need it. I'm just saying people in general might need to sunscreen their heads.
I have worn visors in my day. And then once upon a time, I did have an afternoon at the pool where I came home and realized I needed to start sunscreening my head. So there we go.
All right, welcome back to the Beyond Sunday podcast. We're exploring everything our faith Beyond Sunday morning. This is Patrick Nazaroff with me as always. Pastor Dave Bowser.
How are you doing, Patrick?
You're drinking water during...
I thought your intro was going to take longer. I'm sorry.
It's the same every time.
I understand. I had a tickle. I needed a sip.
And Elise McCarter. Oh, she's drinking. I didn't
drink into the microphone, all right?
Okay.
Still here, still pretty successful. You want to get a good sip in, Patrick, yeah. Before
did you want
we
me
crank
coughing
up the
into
news?
The microphone? That was
we
the alternative.
All have drinks today. This is pretty exciting.
I know.
Yes.
David is not caffeinated. That yes. Looks like water.
It just looks like is is water.
David has water. At least has a green tea thing.
Because it's allegedly healthy for her.
Matcha with protein. No big deal.
And I have a Dr. Pepper Zero I got at the Circle K.
Did you add protein into it?
No. Yeah, I'm trying to bulk up, so I had a little whey powder to the
have
Dr. Pepper Zero.
Have you noticed all the crazy stuff that people are now like, extra protein? Like, there's a Hot Pockets high protein.
I know.
I'm like, what?
Well, RFK said we were at war with protein.
Right.
That
is, there is zero evidence
I
to
think
suggest that we were
winning.
At war.
Yeah.
Protein is crushing us if we're at war with protein.
Yeah. All right. It's a Super Bowl Sunday coming up.
Woo.
I got actually two Super Bowl newses for us.
Wait, all when right. This airs, it will have been Super Bowl.
It will have, yes. Yeah.
So congratulations to the winners.
Who are you calling right now? Is your
who's
winner.
In the Super Bowl?
I will say it is the Seattle Seahawks versus the Patriots of New
Seahawks.
England. So actually, the way the Seahawks played in their championship game, they looked unbeatable. They
for
looked
sure.
Very good.
Yeah.
That's fair. But the running back for the Patriots is a former OSU grad, so I want him to have a really good game.
Mm.
And okay. The Seahawks to win. That's the goal.
So I believe I know a thing about football.
What's the thing you know?
The Patriots quarterback
is not Tom Brady anymore.
was born this century, and this is the first time that a Super Bowl quarterback has been born this century.
Oh yeah,
I think it's actually the first time that no quarterback was born in the 1900s. So both starting quarterbacks both quarterbacks are born in the
they're both
in this millennium.
Okay, there you go. See, I knew a thing.
They're so young.
Yeah.
Yeah, babies.
I'll fact check
babies
that while you
all.
Go.
Okay, well anyway, if you are going to a tailgate party, or you were going to a tailgate. Are you have future tailgate parties?
We have a tailgate party at Lord of Life. You can come to
yesterday.
That tailgate party.
Yeah. It was yesterday.
You can still donate to the Montgomery County Food Bank.
Yeah. That's sweet.
Yeah, that is sweet. Yeah,
do that.
Yeah, I love our Super Bowl of Caring, and I'm a full supporter of the Montgomery County Food Bank.
Though it's hard to say.
Yes. Well, anyway, Heinz has unveiled.
Heinz, the ketchup people?
Correct.
I'm already angry.
You say it with a T. Heinz.
Okay. Wow.
It's just a thing I'm noticing.
out of all our Heinz talk?
Yeah, we do. We talk about it a lot.
It comes up surprisingly frequently.
Yeah.
All right, well, if you're thinking, hey, I'm going to a tailgate party, I've got an event coming up, maybe if since the football's over, maybe, you know, hey, Oscar's coming up, I want to do a little tailgate.
With Oscars, yeah. Oscars tailgate.
Yeah. But I'm scared I might run out of ketchup. There might be a ketchup shortage.
I have
that's
ketchup anxiety.
Yes,
yeah. Well, they got you covered.
Okay.
With a keg of ketchup.
Oh.
Gross.
Can I bring one to the pig roast?
Okay.
I'm bringing a keg, everybody.
A keg of ketchup. Here we go. Yeah, if you're like, we got a party, we're afraid there might be a ketchup shortage, get the keg. It is 114 ounces of ketchup.
That is 114 ounces too many.
Complete with a tap dispenser. Okay.
I mean, I guess
it's about
really,
20 inches tall.
This isn't really any different than what they have at like a fast food place where you go over and you like push the little thing and it squeezes ketchup out for
you.
Yeah,
that would be like a keg, right?
Yeah.
Do you have to tap this keg?
I assume it is. It does have a tap dispenser. So
yeah.
Are you going to do like a ketchup stand?
I'm not. Okay. I'm not doing any of that.
So chug, 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 chug.
What do you think? Are you pro?
No.
It just feels unnecessary.
Like, how many people would you need to go through that many ounces of ketchup?
Yeah. That feels like a lot, right?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And do you have to refrigerate it?
I mean, restaurants don't really
ketchup
refrigerate
is one of those things
ketchup.
That people do refrigerate, yeah. But you don't have to refrigerate.
Okay.
It's a weird. It's middle. Something with like the vinegariness of it or something.
From what I have gathered from mm-hmm. many restaurants, they just refill those bottles.
Yeah.
And so like they probably have never been washed.
Ugh.
You know, like, because it gets down to like a quarter.
For me not to use
I know,
ketchup,
you
and they just
so
fill it up.
Right now.
I'm not superior, yeah. But healthier.
Right. You're looking real smug.
Yeah.
Ketchup healthy. Hater.
Yeah. Also, I was wrong. It is only the Patriots quarterback who is.
I was
so
right.
Congratulations.
Yes,
Patrick.
Oh, you did know a thing.
I knew a thing.
You knew a thing.
Knew a thing.
There you go. Yeah. Yes. All right. Do you want a ketchup keg?
No.
No.
I'm intrigued by it.
All right. Do you want one?
If I had one, I would be. I would,
how much?
I would bust it out for the Super Bowl of caring if I had one.
How much?
You got to like enter to win it.
You can't buy it?
Yeah, you got to like follow their Instagram.
There's so much effort in this.
Yeah. I was going to say we can get you one.
You have to follow Heinz on Instagram, like the announcement, and tag two other users in the comments. Nobody tagged
okay.
me.
Okay. H-E-I-N-T-Z.
Okay.
Heinz ketchup right
how
here.
How was 144 ounces?
114.
Oh, I
listen,
see it.
We can just buy you 114 ounces of ketchup.
Not the same.
We can
and
make
we all
you,
know it.
We can make you your own keg.
Yeah, I mean, you could get like two like big squeeze bottles, and I'm sure it's around the same amount, but it's not the same.
Oh, they call it, guys, they call it keg chip.
Yes. Oh, God.
Is there a keg of condiment that you would want for any event?
I can't. You're just not going to go through that much unless you have 1,000 people.
What about like a wedding?
You're going to have like 1,000 people at your wedding using condiments?
I had 100.
Wedding seems like bad condiment place. Like, you don't want a lot of condiments at a wedding. There's too many formal things on which condiments can be spilled.
Okay. Well, yeah. I mean, I'm saying, you know, you could fill it with chocolate.
Well, that's not a condiment, but I would definitely have a cake of chocolate. I'm game for that. I just wouldn't put that in the category
or
of condiments.
Nacho
had,
cheese.
Sure, nacho cheese. Okay.
I had barbecue at my wedding, so.
Okay. Barbecue sauce.
Barbecue sauce was the big one.
Sure.
That would be an appropriate cake item.
Yeah.
I'm on board.
Still didn't
what kind
keg.
Of sauce did you have? I mean, so you did not get married in Texas. So,
oh,
I mean,
Carolina. So it was a Carolina vinegar base.
Okay, vinegar.
So the North Carolina vinegar.
Yeah, so like a brown sugar vinegar thing.
Okay. Yeah, that's pretty
real
good.
Real good, yeah.
The South Carolina mustard is weird. I do not like the mustard.
I like the mustard.
The mustard.
So I'm pro the mustard.
Nope.
Yeah.
I think they both can be done very well. Yeah. It just depends.
I'm sure they can be done very well.
You don't like
I
sauces,
think the mustard is weird.
So you're.
I like lots of things.
You do not like any sauce.
Okay. Now you're just being overly
pets
dramatic.
And sauces.
None of these things are entirely true. Some of them
speaking
are.
Of
some
things,
of them are partially true. That are not entirely
that
true.
That I don't like.
Speaking of things that I do not like.
Let's talk about the Trinity Broadcasting Network.
Oh.
Do you know the Trinity Broadcasting Network?
I know they exist.
I've heard of.
TBN.
TBN. It's like the Christian channel.
One of them, yeah.
One mm-hmm. of them. CBN, TBN, and they're basically the same, right?
Yeah.
I've never watched really any of the Trinity Broadcasting Network.
I think the most I've seen of the Trinity Broadcast Network is that meme of the one televangelist, who I'm pretty sure is from TBN, where they like overlay fart sounds to
yes.
when he's like, yeah.
I said that to you.
Yeah.
Yes.
I had seen it previously
great.
To that too.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we just watched this like, yeah. last yeah. week. We did
sure,
research, guys.
I'm pretty sure that was on TBN. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's not even like a Christian network that plays like VeggieTales or like anything
no.
that could
yeah.
be considered like. Or like that
Little House on the Prairie,
or like The Chosen, which I've heard good things about, or
yeah,
like whatever the David Show or whatever. It's basically like televangelists, like
yeah.
you know, talking about how society sucks
and
you know
Christian in quotes news about
yeah.
how
society sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyway,
what's TBN up to these days?
Oh, they're doing so many things.
Okay.
TBH. TBN off the rails. Yes. TLDR.
TBN off the rails sounds like a great documentary. I'm just
so evidently, there was a conservative group that thought the Super Bowl halftime show was just not American enough.
Because
right.
Bad Bunny and Green
Day. Bad Bunny.
Because of Bad Bunny.
Who is an American citizen, because Puerto Rico is a part of the United States.
That's correct. But he sings in Spanish.
So, therefore, not
and
American.
Probably, I think, might wear a dress. We'll see. I don't know.
I can't speak to that.
I can say I'm not really very familiar with Bad Bunny.
I'm absolutely unfamiliar with Bad Bunny.
Roman gladiators wore dresses, just saying.
And Scottish.
Also.
Yeah, Scottish men.
Yeah, Braveheart wore
dresses. To be clear, yeah. also not American citizens, but sure.
Right. But like idolized by
their culture.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Well, anyway, They wanted to do.
Are we counting togas as dresses now? Is that what we're doing?
It is a dress. Okay. It's fundamentally the same. So is what you wear on Sunday morning.
Yes, yes.
It's a robe. Thank you very much. If anything, I'm in bathroom attire.
Bathroom attire.
Where else do you wear a robe? I don't know.
Oh, yeah, the flu?
Yeah. Oh.
There's never been a day in my life when I've thought to myself, you know what this needs? This needs a robe. Like, I've never encountered that.
Yeah. I don't
really?
I don't,
You're
I never
not robe
I'm not a robe. I'm not a robe.
No.
Guy.
I'm a robe person.
I don't know what I would do with a robe.
Well, anyway. So they want to do a competitor to the Super Bowl halftime show.
So
this has been in the talks since Bad Bunny's been
there. I remember.
So, yeah, we want a competitor.
So we're going to air it at the same time.
Yep.
And we're going to have our own Super
Turning
Bowl
Point USA has found their host network, and it's the Trinity Broadcasting Network.
So Turning Point USA is the sponsor, and TBN is broadcasting it?
That is correct.
So if I want to watch this, I have to watch TBN.
That is correct.
Okay, I'm just following.
And again, TBN, Christian evangelist talking about how the secular world sucks, is basically their shtick.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's Kid Rock.
Is the host?
That is
the headliner?
That is their headline. There are four artists, but it is headlined by Kid Rock.
Hmm. This is very strange.
The other artists are...
Can we say white trash on the podcast?
I think we did.
I think he would...
Like, isn't he self-proclaimed white trash?
Yeah.
Like, I think it's okay to say if he has said it about himself.
Right.
I don't think we're accusing him of anything he does not already claim.
And I'm looking at an article here from Relevant. So this is our friends.
Yeah.
They're talking about this. And I'll say, like, Relevant. I went to their Facebook, and this article that they posted had, like, 1,500 comments on it.
Wow.
And normally Relevant is like 50 for the spicier articles, and usually three.
Right.
So this is, people are definitely fired up about Kid Rock. And most of the comments are basically in shock. And this is the article that's basically like, Trinity Broadcasting Network has basically been like, we're against the secular world to... Mm-hmm. A tremendous fault of a network,
sure.
And to like all of a sudden be like, Kid Rock is now going to be on our station, and like I don't, if you like Kid Rock, again, it's not for me,
right?
But I've definitely probably sung along to a song in a car once, like a bang
ball with the ball, bang,
you know, whatever.
that was
Blue Moon.
That was the song once
Kid
upon
Rock
a time.
Song.
Yeah, that was but this is just like. Okay, in order to, the Bad Bunny is bad.
Yeah.
We need our own version, and that's, as I said, white trash dude who sings about getting drunk, getting high, and sex with underage women.
Yep.
And that's not a lie. That is one of his songs. Yeah. And it's not like he's turned a corner. His latest album is filled with profanity, including Allah F. Bama. That's one of the tracks.
I'm guessing he doesn't say F in his track.
He does not.
Okay.
So fudge.
Sala freaking Bama.
Yeah, yes.
That's how I refer to it every time.
So it's not like he is turned into a Christian artist. He's not.
Yeah.
What do we make of this?
I make that TBN is selling out and saying that, you know, supporting this conservative value is more important than supporting our withdrawal from secular society.
Agreed. Like, 15 years ago, they would have been like, Kid Rock is what's wrong with America.
Absolutely,
And now just like this is full of brain. For me, it's just like the further sellout of like, for an evangelical audience, like evangelical, is this just like a political movement now more than a religious one? Like, is that what it is? And it's like, if you're on our team, it just does not matter.
Yeah.
Like, that's just like that's what matters more than anything. It's just being somewhat on our team.
Which I mean, if they want to have a conservative evangelical network, like, okay, do that, but like, just be honest about what you are. Like, stop.
Sure.
You know, it feels hypocritical to say, oh, we are against secular things of this world, fine, but we're gonna air this thing because it supports and probably gets us ad revenue and whatever, right? You
know. It's ultimately manipulative, right?
Sure.
It's manipulating first with under the guise of religion, right? And then under the guise of politics, which
And then under the guise of bad music, it's
yeah,
you know, a
and
triple
then
threat.
With Kid Rock,
if Bad Bunny does not, you know, have enough American value attached to it, and yet Kid Rock singing about sex with underaged women, which is again, that's a legitimate thing.
Yep.
That is one of his songs. Mm-hmm. That's what he sings about. Then it's just like, what is American value? Is it just like white? it's like, that's it. Like, it's just like Bad Buddy's not white and Kid Rock is white, and white matters more than values. Because Kid Rock does not have Christian values.
Agreed.
Mm-hmm. Like, again, you can like Kid
Rock's
music.
Nor would he claim to have it. Like, we're not accusing
Christian. Yeah, I'm not here anti-secular music. I prefer it to a quite a large extent to most Christian music.
I like Bad Bunny.
I've never, sure.
He may be great. I could not point
to an album of the year this year.
That's good for him.
Yeah. Look, since I had kids, I don't know anything about music anymore. Is Miss Rachel playing? That's all I know. You know,
is that the yoga lady?
No, Miss Rachel is the children's entertainer, like Mr. Rogers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Rappy. Is Rappy still around?
Rappy.
My kids don't like Rappy. They like Miss
Baby
Rachel.
Beluga. Baby.
Never seen it.
No. Oh, Rappy's great. I love it.
Yeah.
So there you go. I mean, this is just like, okay. I mean, this is, for me, this is just another step away from like, this is what our like evangelicals or conservative Christians saying, these are our values, mm-hmm. and we're stepping further and further away from our proclaimed values.
Yeah.
And like, I disagreed with some of your values, but I at least thought you agreed with some of your values.
Right. Like, I understood your stance, I thought.
Yeah, right. I at least thought that we could have like a disagreement about said values and not like you're Trinity Bikers are willing to poop on their own values to own the libs.
Sometimes you gotta poop your own party.
Yes.
It's my party and I'll poop if I want to.
Let's get to our main topic. That was just a, you know, an aside.
That was just Patrick venting. That's what that was.
Oh, it was fun. That was a good vent.
Welcome to Super Bowl venting with Patrick Nazaroff.
We should have a section where we each have something we want to vent about. Okay, like rotate per month.
Airing of grievances.
Airing of grievances, yes. Yeah. Right.
In honor of Festivus.
No.
Okay.
All right. We're in Christianity Today.
All right.
Our friends.
What's up, CT?
Yeah. We brought the whole friend group together.
We did.
Heinz, Relevant, and Christianity Today.
It's a Super Bowl miracle. Everybody gathered together once again.
Speaking of making fun of the way I say Heinz, the kids make fun of how I say Tuesday all the time.
Is it what?
Tuesday, the word Tuesday.
Like the day of the week? Yes. That you just said, like, choose?
Yeah.
Like,
yes, exactly. I hear it. Okay. I know. It never stops.
Well, it would stop if you said it Tuesday.
Or if you stopped saying Chunday and Twinsday.
Yeah.
Like, that's when it gets weird.
Okay. I'm just saying, I don't have time for any of you people. All right. I'm true to myself and I'm going to stay true to myself.
Chunday.
Tuesday, Thursday.
Go wear a dress. Okay.
So. Go wear a dress.
It's Oprah.
He does.
All right. From Jen Wilkin, article called The Great Omission. And when I usually text out like a few articles.
Sure.
To see what people want to do. Like, hey, what do you think about these?
Yeah.
And Elise was like, I want to do that one, but she had no idea what it was about.
It sounded good, and it's been brought to my attention that it is not.
It's not good. It's not what you expect.
Right. I was like, I have some thoughts. I think I know which direction this is going to go, and it doesn't at all.
So. You ready for the great, what did you think The Great Omission was about before, you know?
Well, I thought it was going to be like, what is omitted from the Bible that should be there? Mm. Like,
okay. Which would be interesting.
And I recognize that would be a hot take to, you know, be like, oh, this should have been in the Bible.
Well, especially because, like, within Protestant circles, right, we don't have all the same biblical texts that, like, Catholics do. So, like, should any of those be in? There are non-canonical gospels and stuff out there. Yeah. Like, I think that could be an interesting conversation. Mm-hmm. That is not what this article is about.
Yeah. It's also not like a fan fiction situation where it's like, what would you like to see more of from the Bible?
Sure.
Which I also had thoughts about.
Sure.
Yeah. There are definitely times the Bible throws like a sentence or something in there, they're like, that is the most interesting thing that they have said, mm-hmm. or the biblical authors have said in quite some time, and they're just blowing
right
past it.
Yep.
Yeah. And I'm like, let's spend some time here. This is
right. I want more about the guy killing people with an ox horn. Like, I want more of that. Mm-hmm. That sounds cool. Yeah.
Yeah. And they just throw it out there and then they move on. Yep. And you're like, wow, that is, for, you know, as a reader,
I'm
you had my interest peaked.
Yeah.
And you blew it.
Okay. You lost your audience.
Going back to numbers.
Right. And like, and we're then in genealogy.
And here's a list of people again. Yeah. And I'm like, okay. The Great Omission, right?
All right.
Here's the tag. With busy schedules, chatty small groups, and personalized quiet times, we've neglected the rigor of learning the Bible.
Personalized quiet times.
Ugh. This is way less fun.
Which part are you
sorry, guys?
At?
The rigor of learning the Bible. I also don't like chatty small groups.
What do you want? Quiet?
Yeah, I want a respectful small group.
We just sit there in silence.
No, we have time for everybody's.
Everybody
know,
just
like,
stares at their phone.
Thoughts to be aired out. But we're not talking over each other. And we're not derailing the subject.
I think you can be chatty without talking over each other and derailing.
Yeah,
you
can
be. I don't think chatty is inherently derogatory.
Not inherently, but that's how I read it.
Okay.
There's some trauma, probably. Yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
It's got some healing.
I don't know.
I
think
right
I'm with Elise.
Past.
If somebody's like, hey, would you like to come to my small group? We're a chatty bunch.
Absolutely not. No. I need to wash my hair.
That's a rough adjective to use.
I mean, I would agree that it's not like the first way that I would describe it to any of the three of us to be interested in it. But I think there are people who are. Yeah.
There are definitely people who, like, that would be their jam.
I think we're a chatty podcast.
I mean, we show up to talk for an hour once a week.
Yeah.
That is the whole gig.
It would be tough to not have a chatty podcast in reality.
Yeah.
This is not the point. All right, carry
anyway,
on.
Anyway. It's really about, like, biblical illiteracy has kind of taken over.
Yeah.
Not only in a secular world, where the world is, you know, the United States is less church, less knowledge of what's actually in the Bible. Now, even in Christendom, we have less knowledge of what's actually in the Bible or kind of like a connection to our own holy texts.
Yeah. I think just obviously this is just the the title and the first sentence that we've gotten through on this so far. But like I do feel like that is true or something that I see as being a shift kind of culturally. Mm-hmm. Right. Like you grew up going to church and then went to a Southern Baptist college. And granted, the Southern Baptist scene tends to be more heavy into like memorization and stuff like that than a lot of other branches of Christianity. But I am frequently surprised by people who are, you know, Christians as well, who just like will not know things in the Bible that I thought were very commonly known. Right. Mm-hmm. It's just like a surprising shift for me. I'm like, oh, like how, you know, not like, to be derogatory, but how did you miss that one, you know? But it's just like an exposure thing, I think.
Yeah,
you know?
For sure. I mean, even in my preaching, right, I can say I remember growing up, I do not feel like maybe this was more about who my preachers were than anything else, but I did not feel like the preachers were ever like explaining where we were or what was happening around the story, right?
Yeah.
I, on a pretty much weekly basis, feel like I have to at least provide some element of context because I don't feel like our listeners as a whole, right, have the biblical knowledge to be able to place the story in a time and place of the linear, you know, transition of scripture. And so, I think that's a.
I agree completely. Especially the handful of times, you know, I've gotten to preach on the Old Testament, which spans, you know, 1500 years and has a lot of different kind of like story attached to it from like pre-nation of Israel, post-nation of Israel, and nation of Israel. You know, like, and all of those things are very different eras.
And none of those things are current nation of Israel. So
And how we kind of address or see God at work is very different in the midst of each of them. But like, even just saying this is the post of the nation of Israel, I think half of the congregation was like, I don't really know what that mean? Means.
Yeah.
And how this works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Together. So, I mean, she's going to definitely kind of give you like a list of questions here. Like, hey, could you summarize the entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation 5 minutes or less?
Yes.
Yeah, me too. I mean, who needs more than 5 minutes? It's a summary.
Yes, come on.
Could you tell me what God made on each of the 6 days of creation?
Yes.
Probably.
Maybe. I don't know.
Might not get like a complete list because I know like it goes into like a bunch of specific things, but I would get the gist.
List the Ten Commandments in order. Are the name of Jacob's 12 sons?
Which order of the Ten Commandments?
Yeah,
12 sons. No, I would not get all 12 sons. I'd probably get six. Yeah, 6 to 8 is where I'd land. Mm. Yeah,
pinpoint where Deborah falls among the 12 judges. I mean, I think some of this
pinpoint where like
Deborah falls among the 12 judges in the Book of Judges.
Oh, I don't know.
Is this
in the middle-ish?
Like, I don't, yeah.
Who some was of this king is when pedantic. The kingdom of Israel was divided?
Solomon. Was this all? Well, I guess, that would be the first time, yeah.
Yeah. All right. So I would say this.
I was thinking exile. That's why I went to the wrong
place. Of these things
are pedantic.
Are trivia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't think you need to know Bible trivia.
No.
To have a relationship with Jesus. I don't even think you need.
Or to be biblically literate.
Or yeah. Yeah. That some of these things, you know, Jen, come on. Like, no, but you don't need to know the Jacob's 12 sons to know the story of the gospel.
Right. You probably need to know Joseph. He's an important one of the 12 sons.
Right.
Correct. Yeah. Well, you might need to know who Jacob is. You might need to know that he had 12 sons. Yeah. You might need to, these things, like, in the...
Knowing that those 12 sons became the tribes. Right? Those are good things, yeah.
Of Scripture, those things are important. But, like, a list of names is not what you need.
Yeah.
And it's not like, look, when you get to heaven, Peter at the pearly gates is not doing a pop quiz. You know?
You don't know, man. You don't know what Peter's up to. Peter's a wild card. You never know what he's going to throw out.
So I think, you know, look, you could be biblically literate and not know those things.
Yeah.
And I think that, but.
I think it's kind of like, you know, if you look at people who are fans of like the Lord of the Rings, like I know I'm familiar with Lord of the Rings. I can converse in Lord of the Rings, but I'm not going to know every single bit of trivia, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not able to speak Elfish. I'm not going to be able to like tell you whose son Aragorn was from the Third War. Like I'm not going to know that stuff, but I'm conversive in it. And, and then
first of all, it's Aragorn.
Sure. So maybe I'm not as conversive as I thought.
But continue.
But I think it's similar, right? So I think there are a lot of people who, the challenge with the Bible is that I think a lot of people think they are much more conversive in it and much more literate in it than they actually are.
Yeah.
And so then they're firing with misaligned information where they're like, oh, I know all this stuff about the Bible. And actually what they know about the Bible is incorrect.
Yeah. I mean, I think I would rather you have a really good handle on like the major story beats of the Bible and like kind of the rise and fall of the narrative than like the little trivia bits,
sure.
Right? Like, yeah, don't know the names of the tribes of Jacob or like don't have it memorized the order on the creation, you know, the way things happen, but like understand kind of the as far as we can and so far as we can the rise and fall of like the story of God's relationship with his people. Like that's the big thing, right? Like get the arc and then figure out the rest.
And then I think attached to that the basics of Christian theology according to your denomination.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, like, and I think that's definitely
according to Luther. We'll just get it right. That's fine.
If you can get it right the first time, do that.
No, if not, we'll see you in a few years. That's fine. You'll come around.
All roads lead to Lutheranism.
I would say, like, that is an important part of, like do you know the rise and fall of Scripture?
Yeah.
What leads to Jesus? What comes from Jesus? I think that's an important thing.
Sure.
Do you know the basics of your church's theology?
Yeah.
And I think more and more Christians don't know about
know
less about or are filling in the gaps of their theology with Christianese and own personal opinions that aren't quite based on theology but just based on humanology, you know, in a sense.
Yeah, I think that's a huge piece. I think it's also an element of people who grew up with a particular theology or a particular understanding that has, particularly around the Bible, but our scholarship on the Bible has changed. And so the way that we understand the Bible now has changed from 60, 70 years ago, right? Because we've learned more, we have better research, we have better understandings of those things. And it's really hard to have been told something about Scripture for a really long time and then just like flip that on a dime. I don't know if this is a perfect analogy, but I'm thinking about my daughter and her learning math now and the way that they teach math versus the way that I was taught, or we were all taught to do math. And like, I have to relearn how to teach her, how to help her with her math because they teach math in a way that that I don't understand. Right.
Yeah.
And like these boxes and things. And like, so it's hard to make that flip if you've done it one way for a really long time, but the flip is really important because it matters for the larger understanding of the biblical arc and where we land on a lot of other theological issues. Yeah.
All right, so she's going to cite the State of Theology Report, my Lifeway Research. This is about evangelicals.
Okay.
So
you like throw up your hands like, whoa.
I'm just saying like, because you know, there wasn't like a State of Theology Report on Lutherans.
I'm sure it's not much better. That's fine. Yeah.
But so it's just like, these was four evangelicals about evangelical theology. How did they line up? The statement, God accepts the worship of all religions, including Christianity, Judaism, and Islam. Evangelicalism, the answer would be no.
Right. Yeah, sure.
Again, I'm not saying that is the answer.
That would be the
evangelical
answer.
Yeah.
But 47% of evangelicals agree with that.
Oh, interesting. That is not reflected in my understanding of
evangelical. Yeah.
Everyone is born innocent in the eyes of God.
Everyone is born innocent in the eyes of God?
Yeah.
That's a big no in the eyes of evangelicalism.
Yeah.
64% of evangelicals agree.
I think we're better at being evangelical than evangelicals.
No, but, I think we're just better at knowing what it means to be an evangelical. Right. It's not the same thing.
Jesus was a great teacher, but he was not God.
Okay, that's definitely
that's not
yeah,
evangelical.
That's definitely not even,
28% of evangelicals agree.
That is concerning.
I'd say that is not, at that point.
If Jesus isn't God, why are you
That's
bothered?
Not Christianity.
I think we've left Christianity at that point. Yeah. Like, no major branch of Christianity is going to have an agreement with that in their theology.
Right.
Now, the other ones, there may be elements or, you know, let's talk about that.
Yeah.
You know, in other branches of Christianity. But this one is definitely like, if Jesus is not God, what are we doing here? Especially because, like,
Santa Claus once punched a guy at the Council of Nicaea over that very issue. Yeah. So Santa Claus straightened that out for us several hundred years
ago. Santa Claus was a great teacher, but not God.
And a bit of a fighter.
Yeah. All right. So what led to this level of like biblical illiteracy?
I feel like some of that might just be illiteracy in general, right? Just like not really understanding the crux of the question, maybe. Like I can't imagine that percentage of evangelicals really understanding what is being asked and answering that way.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think there's also within the Catholic faith, there was always an element of biblical illiteracy. Because one of Luther's big arguments, right? All roads lead back to Luther, as we previously established. One of Luther's big arguments was that people should be reading and understanding scripture on their own, right? You should be investing in this in your own time. And that was not a thing, right? Up before Luther, the Bible was only in Latin, if at all. And it was often like chained into the pulpit of the church because they were big and they were expensive and they didn't want it to be stolen and all that stuff, right? So you were not reading the Bible on a regular basis. You went into church, you heard the Bible read, probably in Latin, so you probably didn't know what it was said. You heard a homily, maybe in your own language, also could have been in Latin, in which case you really didn't know what was going on. Mm-hmm. And then you went through the Mass, right? So most people were not biblically literate. And then there was this rise in Protestantism of saying, oh, people need to read their own Bibles and you know, need to invest in it. And that led to a lot of splits because we see people interpreting scriptures in different ways and coming to different theological conclusions about that. And I think in some ways, we're circling back to, in a consumer culture, say, I want to show up. I want someone to tell me what to believe for an hour on Sunday, and then I don't want to think about it for the rest of the week. Mm-hmm. And so if that's the stance that we're taking again, if we're coming back into that polity, I'm going to show up and you're going to tell me what I need to do, and then I'm going to walk out, then I don't need to read the Bible on my own the rest of the week, right? I don't need to do those things. I can read this, you know, one verse that you're going to send me for my daily devotion. I have that verse, and now that verse is my power words for the day, my power of affirmation, and I'm good to go for the day, right? And that's where we end up with people quoting Satan, thinking that they're quoting God and using it as like this great motivational thing, because there's a thing when Jesus is tempted by Satan and Satan says, all of this I will give to you if you but bow down and worship me, and there are places where on memes and stuff, they're like, it's less impressive if you know who says that, right?
Right.
And so if you know, if you have a biblical understanding, you'd be like, oh, I should not put that on a daily motivation calendar because that's telling me to bow down and worship Satan.
That is Satan, in fact.
That's not what we're supposed to be doing, right?
Yeah,
I think it's not that people are lazy. In fact, I think people have embraced hardness in many areas of their life. Like, I mean, how many people out there are working on their Duolingo streak every day?
Yeah.
This guy right
Or who are like all about CrossFit or Whole30 or whatever, or who are running marathons. Like, you know, people.
What's Whole30?
It's like CrossFit.
You know, okay.
It's like how you eat. It's like an eating thing.
Oh, CrossFit for eating.
CrossFit for eating.
Competition eating.
Yeah.
But not the hot dog kind.
Right. Dang.
Like, so it's not that people out there, like, people aren't unwilling to do hard things, but I do think somewhere in probably the seeker-sensitive era of church, we tried to make church easy.
Yes.
Mm.
And that you didn't have to do hard things to be a Christian.
Right.
And in some ways it's true.
Yeah.
But I think that made, like, we're still, even in 2026, kind of like coming to terms with some of those things of like, we, you know, have to promise this Bible study's not going to have any homework. Like this, this Bible study's not going to be, strenuous for you. All you have to do is come for an hour or 45 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And we're even going to talk about not even the Bible for like at least 20 minutes of that. Yeah. You know, like, you know, like we have to like sell an easy path to coming, connecting to Jesus.
Sure.
We're afraid if we sell a hard one, most people are not going to want to do it.
Which might be true.
And it's probably true in a, yeah, but it's not like, you know, the church is also going down numbers
right.
wise. So I don't think the easy path is working all that
right.
well either.
Sure.
So like, you know, so I think that is kind of maybe the church has kind of accepted that it's, we're just going to be slowly dwindling anyway. So we try to make, hold on to the easiest possible path as long as possible.
Mm-hmm.
She's going to highlight like, hey, how long, when's the last time you heard a sermon series on Ephesians? Or what about First and Second Chronicles?
Ephesians, I've heard one within the past 10 years.
Yeah, because she's going to say Ephesians is short.
Sure.
Like you can get through Ephesians.
And there's lots of good Lutheran stuff in Ephesians.
In like a 6 weeks series.
Yeah.
And you're done with Ephesians.
Yeah.
But something long and difficult and arborous to understand or get through. Even, you know, megachurches are not interested in doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
I would also say Chronicles really fits more in a Bible study context than a sermon series. Like, it doesn't seem like a really good sermon. For,
yeah.
But I also have a very different understanding of sermon than the common
sure.
evangelical preacher would. So.
Yep. It's great. It's 15 minutes. I love
say,
it.
That felt yeah. really judgy. Like,
they're
like,
so
yeah,
good.
Like,
no. I meant nothing judgy by it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, like, evangelicals will see the sermon as a primary teaching time.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Where, from Lutheran theology, the sermon is a proclamation of gospel. And there is
right.
teaching to that, but it's proclamation of
sure.
gospel. That's
mm-hmm.
our primary goal.
That's
so,
yeah.
yeah. Teaching
right.
through Chronicles would not be the purpose.
Good news.
Oh.
Oh, good news.
Do you have a series on Chronicles?
Right.
For us?
I'm ready.
Link to it.
5 suggestions for leaders to reclaim learning in the local church.
Oh. Okay, let's hear what all I'm doing right. wrong and what I should be doing better.
We're
reclaiming learning. That's what this is.
Reclaim learning.
Okay.
Reclaim learning. Phonics. Apple, ball, cat, and the doll.
What is happening?
As a callback, Miss Rachel has an amazing song about phonics. It's
a
straight banger. I don't know what Lisa's doing over there.
Hooked on phonics.
But my girl, Miss Rachel, has a great phonics song.
Oh, gosh.
Phonics,
some of y'all weren't homeschooling
phonics,
in the 90s, and
phonics,
it shows.
Song,
yeah, I think both of us would admit that we were not homeschooled in the 90s and are glad that it shows.
Yeah.
Number one, focus on your own church.
Focus on your own church.
So, like, stop spending your podcast talking about what other
yeah.
churches are doing.
Woof. Mind your biscuits.
No, I think it's first up, like, this isn't like other churches' problems. It's your church's
oh,
problem.
Yeah,
oh,
I hear that.
Like,
yeah.
Sure, we got a bunch of stupid people here.
I get it.
For sure.
All of our listeners.
Who just are, kidding.
Elise does not speak on behalf of Lord of Life.
I'm not thinking of anybody in particular. Just
no,
all of you.
I think this is helpful
general.
To say, like, okay, we can't control what the Methodist megadome down the church or
yeah.
Woodlands church is doing.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't agree with a lot of they're doing, but we can control what we do.
Yep. Mm-hmm. That's fair.
Yeah. I like it.
Focus
like,
on us.
That's a good, like, therapy learning to you.
Literacy,
is you control
yeah.
yourself. What
yeah.
can you
what,
control in this situation?
Or yeah, like, or say, or even like, you know, some of the, another classic one would be like, well, they just need to teach the Bible in school. But like, you
nope.
know.
No, no,
nope,
no, no,
nope,
no,
nope,
no, no,
nope,
no,
nope,
no.
Focus
nope.
on your own church.
Yeah.
Right? Focus on what your church is doing.
Yeah.
Two, clarify terms.
Clarify terms.
All right. So.
Oh, like explain stuff?
Here's.
Is that like, well, I don't know, clarify terms. I don't
right.
know.
Understand the difference between a devotional, a topical study, a book discussion, and a Bible study, and to communicate this clearly. Don't just put them all under one umbrella.
Okay.
Bible study.
All right. That's fair. Like, yeah, let things have their purpose. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I will say, like, I don't know that we would do a lot of what would be considered genuine Bible studies
mm-hmm.
at Lord of Life. I think we have a lot of devotional and a lot of book studies.
Sure. I think that is a good maybe way for us to kind of, because we used Bible study as kind of an umbrella term
sure.
mm-hmm.
instead of a specific term.
Yeah, I mean, like,
yeah.
we have a Sunday school group that meets on Sunday mornings that we refer to as a Bible study, but they would look at a book. Like, every week they come in and they look at a book. And
yeah.
there's nothing wrong with that. They're great books. They're often referencing the Bible. But it would not be a, here's a book of the Bible that we are now going to study, right?
Mm-hmm.
It would be different.
Yeah.
Sure.
Sorry, that felt derogatory towards Bible study, and I did not mean it to.
I mean, this is another thing. Like, this sounds like they're just, like, sort of cherry picking like therapy stuff a little bit and
sure.
trying to rebrand it
yeah,
for the
probably.
Church
sure.
because that's one thing you hear a lot too is be more precise in like what you're asking for and what you're looking for right
yeah,
so
sure.
if it's you're saying devotional and you're saying I don't know, Sunday school or whatever, but what you want is some more like in-depth understanding of specifics of theology in the Bible, then ask for that.
Yeah.
Or say that.
Well, and not, yeah, if we want our people to have that, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, because there are plenty then of people who probably say, like, I get my Bible study when I go to that book study class.
Yeah.
I get my Bible study when I go to this, what I might call a devotional class, mm-hmm. which is fine. Those are great opportunities for you to experience faith, but you're not necessarily gaining biblical literacy from mm-hmm. it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So if we want people to gain biblical literacy, then we have to say, like, this is what this is here for. Yeah.
Yeah.
Number three, ask a different question.
This is therapy speak.
Instead of asking.
This is awesome. Yeah, they just like asked ChatGPT to like rebrand therapy stuff, therapy words for the Bible.
Instead of asking, what do our people want? Ask how are disciples formed and work from there. I think this one is good in asking like, what if somebody is starting new and we want them to get to the point of a biblical literate Christian, mm-hmm. they came to our church, what is the avenue we would get them from know nothing to that place?
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. I think that is a good question to ask of like, where do you start? What comes next? What comes after that? You mm-hmm. know, and I think maybe that might be something that's more challenging for churches to know how we get there, especially because everyone's on kind of a little bit of a different path. You know, it's not like they all show up at first grade together.
Sure.
And like, you know, like we've got people in first grade, people in kindergarten, people in high school, all coming into one Bible study, you know, theologically, all coming into one Bible study together. And so that they're going to be asking for and looking for different things. And I think that would be an interesting question to ask. Bring back active learning environments.
Bring back
active
learning
environments?
Did we lose active learning
environments? Like a foosball table?
Sure, a foosball table. Yeah.
I loved a foosball table.
Do we still have a foosball table?
No, we got rid of it.
Oh, okay.
And it was always in the youth room, too. Like, the adults never get the foosball table.
Our adult class.
Your Sunday morning class is
in the
youth room.
Yeah, but there's no foosball table anymore.
Not anymore.
There was, and nobody used it. So, create classroom opportunities where students are actively invested in the learning process.
Yeah, I think that's just be better teachers. Like that.
Well,
like,
I think it's asking to do hard work, not just show up for 45 minutes once a week, but pre-work. Thoughtful discussion and things like that. So
are there more? There's
one more.
Okay, I've got a comment, but I'll wait until the last one. Go ahead.
Raise the bar.
Raise the bar. Okay.
Know your worth.
You know.
Make it hard.
But I think, reframe discipleship as difficult and valuable.
Yeah.
You know, and put those things like this is difficult, but it is valuable and make and show that that's the what it is. And I think that's an important thing too. Like, oftentimes, like churches who start from scratch, you know, like now these new, church pop up, sometimes they will put like being in a Bible study group is mandatory for membership in our congregation.
Yep.
And it's easy to do when you're starting from scratch.
Yeah.
You know, because like then, like the moment you walk the door, you're here, like, you want to be a member here? These are the rules. That's much harder when you have a church that's 50 years old to be like, hey guys, good news, we changed the rules.
Yep.
And half of y'all are not members anymore.
Right.
So, I mean, I can acknowledge its difficulty in that, but I can appreciate the startup saying like, we're going to start hard and start there. And maybe there's some value in that.
Yep.
And, but I can also say it's much more challenging when it's not you're the pastor, you came into a church that existed for 40 years before you.
Had a way of doing it, yeah.
Yeah, and
had members who have been here for 40, 50
and,
years.
And when you start, every member has been there longer than you.
Yep.
You know, like, and to say, like, things are happening differently.
That's
that's much more challenging than if you're the founding pastor of a congregation.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. All right, what you got?
So there are groups and elements that try to address issues like this. They tend to have a conservative and evangelical bent to them.
Sure.
You know, Bible Study Fellowship is one that I know is pretty popular in this area where you can go and they'll walk you through different books of the Bible, right? So, I mean, you can kind of go as long as you want, but every week you're assigned reading, you're assigned homework there, and then you come and you discuss, you know, six chapters of the book of Judges, or I don't know, but something like that, right? And so there are those things that exist. From my perspective, they have a much more conservative take on scripture than we would typically have in our congregation and within the ELCA more broadly. And that's something that ELCA has not done well is promote biblical literacy through something like that, right?
Yeah.
Through an element that says, here's the Bible, you know, Chronicles and everything. Here's the Bible from a evangelical Lutheran church in America perspective, right?
Mm-hmm. And, that's probably my biggest critique of the ELCA in general, actually, is that it is very hard as somebody who has not grown up an ELCA Lutheran, right, who's coming from a different faith tradition and saying, okay, I actively want to leave behind the pieces of this that I feel like don't fit, that don't gel with me, and like want to explore this, but I do not know where to look and find what we actually think, like in a way that is comprehensive, like, because evangelical Christianity owns the Google search as well, honestly. If you try and like look that up on your own, kind of without direction, all you find is evangelical answers.
And you get put on their list.
100%. Or you're like, I got asked to lead a Bible study on this book of the Bible. And I Google Bible study on this book of the Bible. It's going to be evangelical.
Most likely.
Exactly. Yeah.
Because they're cranking out the content.
Right.
Yeah.
They have the funding. Yeah. It is available. Right.
Yeah. I would definitely agree. And I think that I don't want a situation where the ELCA is like the Turner Broadcasting Network, but for liberals, where we're just like
Trinity.
Yeah, not Turner Broadcasting Network is TNT.
Yeah. Not either, maybe.
Yeah.
Also not that, but yeah.
where it is we care more about liberalism.
Sure. Than, yeah, that's not the point.
Than progressive theology.
No.
Right.
You know, like that.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes progressive churches end up in those spaces where we're just progressive and we're leaving church behind in the same way I think conservatives are just conservative and they're leaving Christianity behind.
Yeah.
You know, like I think that I think that's not a helpful solution to the problem.
Well, like when you're coming from essentially being in an echo chamber for so long, right? And you know that you were in an echo chamber, but then you're trying to find alternatives to that echo chamber without getting into a different echo chamber.
Yeah.
Like, that's challenging.
Yeah. I also do think, like, we don't all need to become biblical scholars, right?
Yeah.
We don't all need to have master's level degrees of study in these various things, right? But a base level of biblical knowledge is helpful, right? So it's that balance of being able to say, how do we as a community develop people who can talk about scripture, can be faithful to scripture without memorizing the 12 sons of Jacob, right? Like, we don't need that, but how do we know what are the major thrusts that scripture is moving and how do I think about scripture in a way that's helpful? That is important for us to work towards.
Yeah.
All right.
Sounds like we've got work to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So who's going to help me write a new Bible study curriculum?
I'll do it.
Aw, thanks, Elise.
Probably my job.
There you go. Wait, he'll do it.
we can help you hire someone to do your other parts of your job first. All right. Well, hey, if you enjoyed this episode, let us know your favorite Bible study that you've ever been in and what crazy parts of the Bible would you want a Bible study on? Well, that's what we want to hear. You can send those to beyondsundaypodcast@gmail.
I love the weird parts of the Bible.
I know.
Sure.
So
it's
much.
Good stuff.
I love all the weirdos.
Tune in at the beginning of March for our next Hard Parts of the Bible series.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back next week with more Beyond Sunday.